You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. I've been looking forward to this conversation all day today. Joining me on the phone now, Shelly Davis Milak, founder of Michelle Image Consulting. Good evening, Shelly. How are you?
Good, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing awfully well, thank you. You had written an article that caught my attention. First of all, I usually pay attention to things you write or talk about, but
thank you.
I do. I always learn a lot from you about all kinds of different areas of life. But this one caught my eye, and it was about smartphone etiquette. And I'm reading through here, and I'm guilty of more of them than I'd like to confess, but I'm going to be completely transparent here with you. What prompted you to comment on the article and to write?
Well, this was something a reporter contacted me. She was writing for American Express Open Forum and wanted to know my thoughts on smartphone etiquette. So, you know, we talked for probably 20 minutes. She was new to the smartphone arena, but had certainly experienced, like all of us have, being on the receiving end when someone has better things to do than maybe have a face-to-face conversation.
Boy, was that the polite way of saying. And in terms of smartphones, so just to make sure we're all on the same page, it's the phone that does everything. It does the texting, it does the, you know, it's phone calls, it's emails, it's multiple forms of communication in your hand.
Exactly. Twitter, Facebook, texting, emails, the whole nine yards.
And this article in particular talked about nine different things, I believe it was, that are problems. Multitasking was the first.
Multitasking is something, it's interesting because we all think we're great at multitasking, but scientifically it's proven that the human brain can't multitask. So what happens is we end up shooting from one thing to another. So I'm listening to you for a second, now I'm typing this text message, no idea what you're saying, now I'm doing this other thing, no idea what the other response was. And what's happening, there was this great article in the New York Times back in June of last year, and it was talking about this phenomenon is actually changing our brains. It's changing the way that we think. So even when we're not multitasking, I know that this happens to me too. It's like an addiction. I'm working on something. Maybe I'm writing my article for the magazine and then, I should just pop over and check my email. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to pop over and check Facebook. And so we're working in spurts versus having that focused attention that we used to have.
Well, and it's so true. Just to run through these things, turning it on vibrate, we all think, oh, that's a great idea. Turns out everybody can hear that anyway. Might as well let it ring.
Really? Really? It's like you can hear it from, you know, the back of the auditorium just about.
Sometimes it's more attention getting than the ringtones are. Typing really quickly. Part of your advice was always use spell check.
Always use spell check. The hard thing with a lot of smartphones is they have where it'll finish your word for you because it's so smart, it's supposed to know what's on your mind. And that can be problematic because it can change a word to something completely unintended. So that's why it's important when you're doing anything from your smartphone to read, reread, and have your spell check on. So you're sending, I've seen some really embarrassing things come through.
Very good. One of those that doesn't need a lot of explanation, but lap reading. Everybody knows what you're doing when you look down into your lap and, you know, there's nothing there. I mean, but your phone. We know
right.
What you're up to. Leaving long-winded messages. Boy, this is a pet peeve of mine. Like you, I spend literally my whole day on the phone booking guests for the show. It needs to, you know, you don't need a great big long message. Who you are,
no.
tell us what's the proper appropriate thing to leave.
The appropriate thing is who you are, the reason for your call, how you can be reached, and leave your phone number twice.
I try so hard to do that right off the top and then again finish up. And the reason for the call doesn't have to be long. It's just, I want to get in touch with you about the interview today, just so they have an idea of what you're calling about.
Exactly. They don't want to hear a whole litany, a 5-minute conversation, but just so they have an understanding of what they need to be prepared for when they call you back.
And putting someone on hold, boy, I don't like that either from a cell phone.
No, it really isn't good. And what it says to people, again, is this person that's calling me is more important than you. Certainly there's times I have children, you know, there's emergencies, there's times when you need to take another call. In my opinion, it's best to explain to somebody this is a call I need to take, this is an emergency or whatever the case may be. Can I call you back in 10 minutes?
And one of the things that you and I, when we had a few moments, because we actually did talk, we had a relationship on the phone this morning, we spoke, and that was one of the things you talked about to me, is that relationship is changing with the use of these devices.
It really is, and studies have continued to show that as we pay less attention to people, we're not able to empathize and form those great relationships and those great bonds.
And the other thing that you pointed my attention to after this article when we spoke, you said, read the comments afterwards, where people are allowed to speak afterwards. And there were some interesting comments after this. And there was one, his first name was Paul. I won't say his last name. There's a lot of Pauls in the United States. And,
right.
And after reading his comment, I thought, well, I sure don't want to have lunch with Paul. He basically said that the person he is speaking with only gets a third of his attention because he's busy with emails and texts and other things.
Right. And he says, you know what, I can email and I can think about business and I can have a conversation. And I admit you only get a third of my attention, but that's all you deserve. And he goes on to say, if you feel like you deserve any more, you're just vain.
You know, I'm not sure I don't have any. I got nothing.
I'm just glad Paul isn't my boss.
Yeah, well, and that's a very good point, much less someone you had to have lunch with. You're not glad you're not working for him. Were you surprised by any of the remarks other than Paul's?
Not any of the other ones. I think mostly people are just saying, you know, I know that this happens, but it's an acceptance thing. You know, it's just the way the world works. And I get that. And, you know, I'm as guilty of some of these things at times as others. But it's more about being cognizant of the fact that life is about relationships. Whether it's business or social, it's about relationships. And when we start letting electronics interfere with that ability to forge great relationships, we're really doing a disservice to ourselves and to others.
Well, and I think you're right. And what came to mind is I was reading some things about this subject this evening, is it's kind of feels like Pavlov's dog. We hear that vibration or hear that ping that there's an email or a text coming in. We feel like we have to grab it and do something immediately. And that's just not the case. It can wait a minute.
Exactly. And really what happens is it uses that part of our brain, Cheryl, that back thousands of years ago, if you heard a lion roar, you have to stop what you're doing and make sure that you're safe. And that's what's happening. Our brains are being reconditioned. So we hear the ping of the email or the tweet coming through, and it's getting that fight or flight sort of getting you riled up and all that adrenaline.
Well, it's a great article. Shelly, where can people go to get more information about Michelle Image Consulting?
They can log on to the website, which is michelleimage.com. That's M-I-E-S-H-E-L image.com. And of course, they can find us on Facebook and at Twitter at Michelle Image as well.
Very good. Well, ever since I read this article early last week, I may have been guilty of a few of these things, but at least I now have the awareness of the effect they have on other folks. So that's the first step in trying to change the behavior, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Shelly, I appreciate your time this evening. Always love talking with you and keeping up on all your good advice. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cheryl. Have a great night.
You as well. We've been speaking with Shelly Davis Milak, who is founder of Michelle Image Consulting. Some great advice. Got a lot of good things going on. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.